You're listening to the Asian Action Cast, the best and worst of Hong Kong and Asian action cinema. The podcast contains coarse language and adult themes.
Just one last job for money. Lots of money. Money to burn. A brand new chance to live in a better tomorrow.
When you can take the pebble from my hand, it will be time for you to leave.
Ninja, the tea party's over!
Time for you to leave.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Asian Action Cast. My name is Sam. And tonight we have Scott.
Hello.
And Rachel.
Hello.
Action packed, coming at ya. Sorry, I just chucked my phone on the table because I wasn't paying attention to what I was doing.
Sounds like it was a rotary phone with a
explosions, red barrels, boom, boom, boom. What do we do here? The Asian Action Cast. We watch, review, recap, revamp the best and worst of Hong Kong and Asian action cinema. And tonight, no exception, we have a Hong Kong Asian action film, A Better Tomorrow.
A classic, some might say.
Many people would say that, Scott. An absolute Hong Kong legend classic that changed the face of action cinema as we know it.
I dare say for a lot of people that haven't seen this, they've probably seen GIFs or clips of this. This is a famous for a couple of shots movie.
The thing is, I get confused between this film and A Better Tomorrow 2 because I don't think they expected this to be as big a hit as it was. And once you have something that's really, really super popular, you got to do it again. Which, spoilers, might be difficult if certain people are killed off.
Mm.
Now, going around the table, we already spoke about this, but for the listeners, on the Asian Action Cast, I have never seen A Better Tomorrow 1 or 2. Scott?
I have not. I know about it, but I've not seen it like in full. I've just seen the main gif of him with the money and all that.
Rachel?
Somehow, I don't remember watching it. I mean, the character is very famous.
Mark Gore?
Yeah.
What's his actual name? Mark?
Mark Lee.
Mark Lee?
Just calls him Mark.
Just Mark. So, would you have seen this in the cinema?
No, because I didn't go to the cinema when I was a kid. For Chinese movies in general.
Also, it came out in 1986.
Yeah, so I'll be 6 years old, so that's not going to work.
You wouldn't have watched it when you were 6 years old.
I wouldn't be allowed to watch it when I'm 6 years old.
No, it's pretty brutal. This is John Woo, one of his most brutal, violent... I read that this was the introduction to heroic bloodshed. This was the first of its kind. Anyone want to challenge that? No?
No. It's very bro-y.
Beginning
of bros.
Is that a theme he started, or is that something that's happened a long time before John Woo came into the picture?
Is heroic bloodshed sort of limited to a shootout, or is it in wuxia films as well, perhaps?
What's the definition of heroic bloodshed? Is it just heroes that kill a lot or heroes that die a lot?
Bros that die together.
Yeah, is that what it is, heroic bloodshed?
Is Triple R heroic bloodshed?
Is there any blood in Triple... Oh, wait, I'm thinking of Triple X.
That's a different kind of movie.
Triple R, is there a lot of blood? Do they kill a lot of people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Elephants kill a lot of people.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Maybe it's more like the fated encounter. People who just tie together with a thread that their fates are tied together.
You raise a very good question there, Scott. I think you might be right. I think it might actually have to do with guns. I don't know that you could have heroic bloodshed.
I'm clicking on the link for heroic bloodshed. It says a genre invented by Hong Kong action cinema.
I don't think they take credit. They don't go, I invented it.
The term was coined by editor Rick Baker, noted Hong Kong man Rick Baker from the magazine Eastern Heroes in the late 1980s to describe movies by John Woo and Ringo Lam.
Is that a UK magazine? I don't know.
Hong Kong action film features a lot of gunplay, gangsters, rather than kung fu. Lots of blood, lots of action.
Okay, so yeah. So, intrinsically tied to gunplay and gangsters. Rick Baker, thanks, legend.
Thanks, Rick.
Yeah.
Legacy of Rage is considered
heroic bloodshed. Okay.
Let me just quickly see if we've done any. Face Off is heroic bloodshed.
Well, I think... It- any John Woo film that contains guns would be heroic bloodshed.
Mm. Rock and roll
people
cop.
On the wrong side of the law. One a cop, one's a cop and one's a gangster usually.
Yeah. Look, if you were to ask me, I think this film's great, spoilers, but if you ask me, my favorite of the genre of John Woo specifically is The Killer, which we have done on the podcast before, but I think The Killer, he really nailed that formula.
Also, Point Break is considered a heroic bloodshed.
What? I'm sorry. What?
Does it have to be a Hong Kong or Asian movie?
Is Rambo heroic bloodshed?
Rambo 4. Yeah. Fuck yeah, Rambo 4 is heroic bloodshed.
And why not Terminator or something?
That's sci-fi.
Yeah, okay.
Mm.
And he's not really bros with anyone.
Predator versus Alien. Just joking.
Yeah, maybe the original Predator. They were bros. But this, yes, we're digressing. This is A Better Tomorrow, one starring, well, this is debatable. It's got Chow Yun-fat in it. He's probably best known from A Better Tomorrow and a few other things as well. But would you call him the main actor in this?
Not at all, no.
I call him a scene stealer.
Yes. Yeah. No, I'd agree with that.
It's not so much his story, but I think because he became so famous for it, it seems to have eclipsed everyone.
Yeah, it's like Tai Hu. Like, Tai Lung's the main character, and people think of John Woo and Chow Yun-fat and Better Tomorrow, Hard Boiled, and all these movies. Like, he's not really the main guy.
He really took over, didn't he? He was.
It's like crazy eyes.
They let him. Yeah. They let him smoke a whole American dollar or something.
You burn like that dollar scene, bill.
That should have been, you know.
That's iconic, indicator. Right? That's crazy. People always use that gif as a reaction.
Such a good shot, though. That whole note just going up in flames.
I actually read. Are we ready for some trivia? I have a bunch of trivia about this film.
I got a little bit too.
Yeah? Hey!
You did research.
I did. Well, while we were watching the film. apparently, the film was so popular that it was actually in fashion for kids to go out and buy those big trench coats that they're wearing. The
really?
Overcoats. Yeah. They were called dusters. In fact, not just the overcoats, but also the sunglasses that Chow wears were all sold out. They basically set like a massive fashion trend with all of the attire that they were wearing in this film because kids just wanted to be cool.
So they didn't buy Tai Lung's glasses, the most biggest sunglasses in history.
So dorky.
Mate, if you were a teenager, who do you want to be like? Tai Lung with his receding hair down back to his neck? Or Chow Yun-fat's character?
Receding hairline into a mullet slicked back. Come on, mate. Just shave it.
Yeah, sorry, Tai Lung. Respect, bro, but...
He did a good job acting in this movie, but...
He did a good job. Do you want to throw some trivia?
I've got it. The translation of this movie is True Colors of a Hero.
What?
Yes.
Directed by John Woo, co-produced by Tui Hark, who's also in the movie.
Yeah, the first two words are like Yung Hong, which is like hero, and then Bun Sik, which is, I guess, like your character and your colors or something.
So, A Better Tomorrow is not the title in Chinese anyway.
No.
Came about later.
True Colors of a Hero.
True Colors of a Hero.
Which is a pretty good title.
That's a great hero.
A lot of the music is done by a guy called Joseph Koo Kafai, who has also done music and theme songs and scores for movies such as Zoo Warriors from the Magic Mountain, which we've done on the podcast before.
Nice fantasy.
Stacks.
Heaps. I'm just trying to see.
Lots of pop songs as well.
Yeah, so all those cool songs and score synthy bits, that's him.
Yeah, right. And you've also got Leslie Cheung's in this film, the late, great Leslie Cheung, who is a notable singer and B-rate actor.
I don't think his acting's... he's still learning how to act then, I feel.
He's still learning?
Yeah.
Just for the listeners, I was outvoted on how hot Leslie Cheung was. I had voted not, and apparently the majority is hot.
What? The pendulum swings both ways.
You were convinced by the end of the movie with that song, though, weren't you?
Yeah. You know what it was? It was the wet hair. Leslie Cheung needs to have wet hair, and he needs to be longer.
It needs to be slightly longer.
Yes, it does, and he needs a bit of facial stubble, right? Because he looks so young, and it doesn't help that he's acting opposite Chow Yun-fat and Tai Lung, who are about a foot taller than him. So. And I don't want to speak ill of the dead, but, you know, Leslie Cheung, he convinced me by the end of it. I was like...
If you wanted someone too young to have a temper tantrum, then you've got your actor.
To have a temper tantrum?
Yeah, because you don't need Ranger to be like a you know, a shitty little young guy or something.
Is he like a Luke Skywalker where he's like, he wants to go to the...
Yes! Isn't
he?
Plucky!
Ding.
He's plucky. And you know what? I think they cast him well because you do believe that he is a vanilla good guy. You know, like you don't believe that he's rough or that he would compromise his values. But Tai Long and Chow Yun-Fat, absolutely.
Got a couple more bits of trivia.
Yes.
Filmed mostly in Hong Kong, but also a bit in Taiwan.
Oh.
This is Wise Lee's debut film.
Is it really? He's the villain,
also,
Wise Lee.
The Wu-Tang Clan did a song called A Better Tomorrow on their album Wu-Tang Forever.
You better quote some lyrics.
Yeah, quote some lyrics.
Mark Gore or not.
There you go. Look up some lyrics. I'll throw another one at you. So, the... actually, you could probably speak to this, Rachel. I read that at the time, John Woo was known for making comedies. Chow Yun-Fat was considered box office poison, having not done anything nearly as big as this. And Tai Long looked like he was over the moon in terms of his martial arts prowess.
I think, yeah, Tai Long was like, I guess, he was like washed up Shaw Brothers, but definitely past his prime,
yeah.
I guess, at that point. And then being in this movie just... I guess brought him back to the popularity, I guess.
Hang on. Is it Ti Long?
I don't know. I don't.
I've been calling him Tai Long, like from Kung Fu Panda.
I don't know. I do a weird pronunciation also.
Yeah, you're right. I've been saying it wrong.
I'm trying to say like in in Mandarin because from Shaw Brothers, but otherwise you'd say the same like Dick Way, but it's Dick Long.
Dick Long?
In Cantonese.
Oh, shit.
Dick Long is way better.
But his real surname is Tam, but that's his stage name. Yeah.
Oh, Dick Long.
Like Dragon.
Oh, okay, right. Dragon Dick.
A couple other bits before we move on. Allegedly, this is an uncredited remake of a movie called The Story of a Discharged Prisoner from 1967. And
is that a Hong Kong film?
I think so.
Cantonese film.
Yes, yeah. It is a Hong Kong film. So maybe we should check that out.
Mm.
Allegedly, the whole thing about the story about him drinking piss was real.
A true story.
True story.
Chow Yun-Fat drank piss.
Somebody.
Chow Yun-Fat and Ringo Lam apparently had a little thing there.
Drinking piss together.
Yeah. I'm not sure about that.
Real brothers.
I can't vouch for that. And I had some other trivia, but I forgot.
Yeah.
Also, Emily Chu's in this movie.
Yes, very attractive Emily Chu.
You were like, meh. And then by the end, you're like, oh, she's pretty hot, actually.
Well, no, that's because she tied her hair up and then your opinion changed.
Also, you can see her face better.
Her character is at the start is just naggy.
Oh, it's so annoying. For anyone who hasn't listened to the podcast before, I kind of measure every female actress against Amy Kwok.
Shallowly, by the way.
Amy Kwok. It's the Kwokometer. And I think Emily Chu is probably on a scale of maybe 7 Amy Kwoks. Amy Kwok, of course, being 10. 10 out of 10 Amy Kwoks.
Just ask Sean Lee. Sean Lau, sorry.
Sean Lau, my arch nemesis. Arch nemesis. He's still acting too. Bastard.
He's still acting and still acting well.
Oh, and apparently this made about 34 million Hong Kong dollars at the box office.
Damn. Well, I read this was the biggest grossing Hong Kong box office film at the time, and it stayed there for quite some time.
My comment was, if this was on and I was allowed to go to the cinema, I'd watch it 10 times a year.
10 times a year, yeah. Just to watch this.
It's a really nice film.
It is very nice. Before we get into it, if you were going to pitch this to someone who wasn't aware of it, how would you pitch this to them to get them to go watch it? Or would you? Or would you go, nah, don't bother?
Sweaty Redemption.
Oh, that's pretty good.
A lot of sweat in this movie. And crazy eyes.
Crazy Eye, Sweaty Redemption. Sounds like a porno.
I don't know. I mean, Mark Gore sells it. Sells the whole movie.
How would I sell this to somebody to go watch it? I'd be like, you know how somebody sold it to me? Actually, that's probably the best way that I could explain it. Having not seen this film, there was a guy I used to go to school with, and he was from America, and he was Asian, obviously. And he said, you got to see A Better Tomorrow. And we all had bleach tips back then. And I said, why, man? I said, why? And he goes, there's a scene where Chow Yun-Fat puts guns in pot plants and he walks around and he pulls them out and shoots people. And I was like, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So, that's how I would sell it to someone. I'd say, there's a scene where Chow Yun-Fat puts guns in pot plants and he pulls them out and he shoots people.
So, you're saying Chow Yun-Fat's got a green thumb?
That's right.
And a red hand.
Okay. So, maybe often imitated, but hardly ever duplicated.
It's kind of like a movie, I guess, like The Matrix, where people have seen it and it's become sort of culturally osmosis. It's like people have seen it so much that it gets parodied and copied so often.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, like the heroic bloodshed. The fact that Chow Yun-Fat uses two guns or whatever, right, has been copied ad infinitum in all like Hong Kong films. Anyone that has guns now has two guns. So, I think it's kind of... It's one of those things where all of the tropes that John Woo brought to the table have now been copied so much.
Oh, you mean acting star John Woo?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was like, get out of my movie, please.
Yeah, the best wooden board I've ever seen.
Also, the second movie we watched where Chow Yun-Fat has an injury to his leg. Allegedly.
I feel like this is a theme, right? This is, especially like 90s movies, like you start off like king of the world, then you get injured, you turn into like a slimy piece of shit that everyone hates.
But actually,
and then you've been crippled or whatever, but actually, or you've lost your memory, and then you come back as like the gambling king or the king assassin or something.
I have
and
two things.
It's also Chow Yun-Fat, like most movies.
I have two things to say on that. One, an injured Chow Yun-Fat is a vulnerable Chow Yun-Fat, which is a sexy Chow Yun-Fat. Vulnerability is sexy. And two, the hero's journey. For a hero to come back stronger than ever, he has to die, or parts of him has to die to come back. He has to reinvent himself, right? That's his character arc. Whereas for like a hero and a man, this is kind of like a riff on masculinity, I guess. For a man or for a hero to reinvent themselves, they have to undergo destruction to be reborn, like the phoenix, right? Whereas for someone else, someone who's not a hero, a villain maybe, or you know, offside or a woman or something like that, the character transformation is very different. This is a very masculine bros like slapping each other's asses and testicles and stuff. You know, like I will sacrifice my life for you. Like it's very machismo.
It's very Triple R.
It's
and can we say that Chow Yun-Fat looking nice and slim and trim in this movie?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah.
You can tell the success got to him and he just indulged a little too many after this one.
Too many chocolates, but
no doves in this movie, too. Spoilers.
I was just going to say that. There's no doves. There's no John Woo doves. Maybe they couldn't afford them.
Need to be in a building?
Also, most of the movies in the dark, right? A lot of the movies in the nighttime.
There's a lot of explosions, though.
Mm.
Like a few doves. But then, I mean, who's really the hero here? Who's the hero?
I just keep thinking of the killer because it's very similar that way.
Mm.
But they had doves. Actually, I don't know whether they had doves for both of them or just one of them. I assume that.
Characters?
Or? Yeah, for the characters. Like, you know, Danny Lee and Chow Yun-Fat.
Yeah.
I think they'd have doves for both of them. I was interested to read that John Woo, these guys, obviously, they're gangsters, Chow Yun-Fat and Tai Long, but John Woo requested that originally they were going to be drug dealers, but he requested they become counterfeiters to make them seem less villainous, I guess. Oh,
then you have the scale where, what's his name? Wisely. Wisely. I can't remember pronounce his name. So, he's be even worse by running drugs. So, in the scale of criminals, drugs are the worst.
Drugs are the worst.
Followed by counterfeiters and then watch counterfeiters.
What was the brand of that watch?
Guy LaRoche. I was like, what crime is... I mean, I know it's bad, but I don't know, not that bad.
One more thing to talk about. We usually, for these movies, for Hong Kong movies, we go to hkmdb.com. for like information and sometimes reviews. Usually we go to the reviews and someone called E-Waffle gives us some gold here and there. And a lot of the reviews for A Better Tomorrow are 9, 10, 8, like praising the movie. E-Waffle gave it a good review. Somebody in 2010 gave a review. The name is STSH. Score, 4 out of 10. Summary, mighty overrated. That's it.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Mighty overrated.
Not overly rated, mightily overrated, just mighty overrated.
They read all the meta reviews and then decided.
He was like, nah, I don't think so.
As good as people said it was.
What would be funny is if he says, this is shit, it just copies everything from Face Off and Broken Arrow. Dick.
Thanks for your input there, STSH.
It is the original though.
It is.
Like
it-
every, even now, like I look at the shots and I go, that's a really good shot. Everything, the way it's lit. I don't know if this is transfer that we watched is super crop because it's in 16:9 or whatever.
Yeah, some of those shots are really tight, like yeah. Right in their faces.
So I'm not sure if it's meant to be or like you're meant to stare at Chow Yun-Fat's eyes for like 10 hours.
Wait, You know what really pulled me away is there's shots of Chow Yun-Fat and Tai Lung and that, and they've got sweat beading, and it's just right in your face, and you could really taste Chow Yun-Fat's skin. And then they put Emily Chu on, and it's like the makeup was just like, pow, just caked on there. It looked like the Homer Simpson shotgun where he shoots Marge in the face. I was like, Emily Chu, dial it back.
At least John Woo spared us from that in his scenes.
Yeah, John Woo was not acting.
He was gliding.
Yeah, that's right. There's a scene where he's just like gliding towards the camera like some kind of poltergeist.
He's like, I'm going to use my fancy shot quotient on myself as well. Thank you.
I mean, like, respect. The man wants to put himself in front of a camera. Maybe he gets paid more.
A little bit too much. I thought normally he just gets like a small cameo, like one shot or something.
Chui Hark as well.
One scene.
Yes. Co-producer Chui Hark. At least he plays like a comedy role where he's just this annoying guy.
He's like, his window gets burning. He's like, oh.
Because when I say spoiler, number two is Dean Sheck in it. So,
oh, for real?
Watch out.
Dean Sheck's in
this. I think he's credited higher than Chow Yun-Fat, so watch out.
Really?
Whoa.
Next week, we're going to watch it? Yeah. Oh,
fuck yeah.
Yeah, all right. Number two, Dean Sheck's in it. What does he play? Like a table or something? Using his face. Nah, I love Dean Sheck. Love you, Shecky. So, before we get into the plot recap, just so that the viewers know, and we've now pitched them that they should go watch this film, though, and we are the Asian Action Cast, what percentage of this film would you say is action? And it's a lot less than I thought it was going to be.
20.
40?
What? Really? I would have said 15.
The last 15 minutes is...
15%?
You reckon?
It's bangers.
There's a lot of talking and, like, bros and, you know, like, back slapping and dick wrangling.
That's what makes it...
It opens with someone getting shot.
Yeah.
That's what makes it better than a Conan Lee movie.
I don't believe Conan Lee is bros with anyone, but... Yeah, see, I was going to say, like... Yeah, 15%. Yeah, you're right. That last fight scene does go for a while.
I need a break from like Samo slapstick.
Yeah, there's no slapstick. And
slapping, you know?
There's no comedy in this film, really.
What was funny?
That was funny.
Was anything funny in this movie? John Woo showing up?
The gliding.
You're right. No, okay. 35%? Yeah, okay. I could
actually
see that.
For me, the funny bit is, spoiler alert, the very end where Shing turns around and... Oh, shit. There's a gun. He goes, oh.
That was a good reaction shot, actually.
It was just the cello. Cello violence and comedy.
Yeah.
And she kicks up the music stand. Oh, shit.
That was totally unnecessary. The whole Leslie Cheung and Emily Chu romance subplot. Not even a subplot. Slice of life.
Was there any need for her to play the cello?
No.
Like, maybe she'd come back and the cello's got a bazooka in there. It's like, oh, that'd be a cool little... I would just written a better movie.
Gotta give her a hobby.
Maybe they didn't have any roles for Chui Hark that didn't involve action. He's like, I don't want to do anything. And they're like, well, you could be a music guy.
Okay. You might be right.
Yeah. Anyway, that's not even part of the main story, right? The main story is Chow Yun-Fat and Tai Lung, who are not the heads of the gangster.
They're badass gangsters.
They're badass gangsters, but they're not the leaders. The leader is this really old guy, and he's got a kid called Shing. And his kid, Shing, is kind of like new to the world. And he's following the big badass guy who's Tai Lung, his character of Ho. And Ho's offsider is Mark. And Ho and Mark are just two really charismatic, cool. And you know that they're cool and they're best bros because they're laughing with each other all the time.
Constantly smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
Jay, in fact, about a cigarette is weird.
He's the best cigarette actor I've seen.
What, sad cigarette, happy cigarette.
He does a lot with his mouth. I think the only person I can think of that acts with a cigarette better than him is maybe Clint Eastwood.
You might be right.
Yeah.
Or maybe Charles Bronson.
Ah, see, I never saw much Bronson.
What? Charles Bronson acts with cancer?
Oh, rough. Oof. Chow Yun-Fat also acts with a toothpick in his mouth. He has to have something in his mouth.
It's a match.
It's a match, yeah. Yeah. Which, is that a thing that happened before? Is that like a thing? Did he invent that? Why would you have a match?
If you're a country bumpkin, you'd have a toothpick. So, if you're a bowling assassin, you use a match.
I don't get it, though, because he always uses a lighter to light... And dollar bills. dollar bills.
Yeah.
So, what's he going to light his match on? I don't know. It doesn't matter because he looks cool.
The graves of his enemies.
He looks cool. And I think I mentioned before about the clothing, but I should mention that they are wearing some very... formal attire. They're all wearing, you know, like three-piece suits with, I don't know, jumper vests and an overcoat over the top of it. It looks cool, but they kind of look a bit out of place because no one else is wearing it.
Look like they're wearing a cape.
Yeah.
Like a vampire or something.
Is that the point, I guess, is to make them kind of stand
very,
out?
Very distinct, I guess, to make them seem like they are at the top of their game.
Yeah.
Because later on, when Shing becomes the boss, he's also wearing something very similar. I feel like not every movie, but like they're often wearing that kind of attire in John Woo's movies when you're the
head honcho.
Like a loose suit.
Yeah. And a, what do you call it? A double-breasted jacket, whatever.
Yeah, I suppose it makes him look proper. I guess that's his gangsters. He wants his gangsters to look kind of proper, right?
So they're either wearing navy or black or wearing white. It's all white.
Yeah. Yeah, I read somewhere that John Woo likes people to wear white because the blood shows up better, which it does.
A lot of blood in this movie, too.
Heroic blood.
A lot of splatter.
Yeah. So, you've got these two gangsters who basically run the show. They're very cool. Chow Yun-Fat's not really shown as a badass yet, even though he is lighting his cigarettes with dollar bills. So, I guess he is. He looks cool. But he doesn't... I don't think there's really any shooting or action or killing for quite some time.
Well, except for Leslie Cheung.
Does Leslie Cheung kill someone?
He dies in the opening scene.
What?
Oh, that's a...
That's the dream.
That was his dream. And then you see his, sweat-soaked shirt with his, revealing his tattoos on his back.
A foreshadowing.
Which you never see again.
Thank God. You could see... I was going to say, you could see a bit of tattoo sleeve under a shirt, but that was as far as it went afterwards. So, maybe makeup just gave up.
So, is that... That's the theme of the film, right? Like, that Ho is a... what is he? He's reluctant gangster, maybe? He wants to get out of the life?
His dad wants him to get out of the life.
His dad?
Is that right? Because Leslie Cheung is a cop.
He has no idea that he's a gangster.
Yeah.
But once you get a full back tattoo, I think it's very hard to...
To get out of that?
To get out.
Well, I don't know if they had laser removal yet, so... But yeah, you could turn it into like a fish or something, right? I don't know.
Put a dolphin on it?
Yeah. What's that on your back? Ah, it's a dolphin. I like dolphins.
It's big yin yang. It says live, love, laugh.
So, this Ho character is a grizzle-hardened veteran of the gangster world. And they have a deal that's going down where in Taiwan where he has to go. And before this, there's no action though, right? Am I right in saying?
No, they're just printing some counterfeit money.
Yeah.
Schmoozing with the office girls.
It's actually a pretty slick operation. It seems like they've got, admin staff. They're paying payroll. Yeah,
it's a normal business.
Yeah, they're probably, they're probably paying people superannuation too. Like, respect for this guy. But unfortunately, they do have to do illegal things to make money. And that's why you've got Tai Long's character Ho going to Taiwan to go and be part of this deal. And I didn't quite understand why Mark didn't go with him. I know that they said Shing should go. Like, yeah, take this young kid, show him the ropes and that. But given their brotherhood, I would have thought that Mark would be like, nah, I'm going to go. I'll cover your back.
I can't remember either. I thought maybe the dad said, hey, do one last... Or did he say, I'm going to do one last mission and call it quits? So, maybe he's like, I don't want to involve you.
Yeah.
I don't want you to know about it or something. I don't know.
Because I feel like things might have gone differently if Mark was there.
So, maybe Mark didn't intend to be there, but he had to come back and clean up a mess.
I get the impression Mark's a bit of a dick at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
He's given Shing a lot of shit and kind of telling him stories about how, I had to drink piss and shit.
I mean, dude's smoking dollar bills.
Yeah.
Like,
I suppose
like, his arrogance is pretty up there.
And yet, here we are, like, going, this guy's cool.
He's pretty cool, though. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. That confidence and that arrogance. But for whatever reason, he doesn't go. And they're actually sitting at a bar and they're wearing jumpers, which I was like, huh? What? They're wearing, like, Chow Yun-Fat's wearing a multicolored rainbow jumper, but with muted colors.
That is a Linfielder's worst nightmare.
And Tai Long's wearing a blue knitted jumper.
I think we just have to say, once again, Tai Long's hair is atrocious.
Yeah, he needs to shave it off.
1986.
Even early, in the early days when he had those films with David Chang, his hair was still kind of, you know, it was going back anyway.
He had the benefit of Shaw Brothers wigs. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, really?
Don't you think? I'm sure he's covering up for years with the wig.
Yeah, the wushu.
Especially, in a period drama, how will people know? That's They'll true. Never know.
Yeah, I wonder if that damaged his hair. The wushu
rip,
wigs.
Rip more hair out.
Yeah.
The glue.
I feel bad. I mean, you know, he doesn't do much martial arts in this film, if any, at all. And he still kind of looks like Tai Long. He doesn't look like Tai Long much nowadays, but he did kind of look like Tai Long back in the day.
He kind of looked like himself.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but like, you know, traditional Tai Long.
Tread Tai.
The image you have of him in his younger days.
Yeah, that's right. Because him and Mark are supposed to be like contemporaries, like brothers, right? But Tai Long just looks way older than Mark. If anything, it almost seemed like a protege kind of thing. Like, this is the guy I brought up.
If anything, the age difference, because Leslie is supposed to be his younger brother, then it should have been more like Mark.
Yeah.
Because, like, how old? Yeah. Because we were talking about that. But I was like, oh, no, it's fine. But actually, it's really weird.
Well, his dad must have had him when he was, like, 12. And then he had Leslie Cheung when he was 86. Because Leslie Cheung is like super young.
And there's no lady, there's no mother on the, you know, on the scene. Whatever happened to her backstory, don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. At the time, I think Leslie was, he was probably in his late 20s, early 30s.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, but he still looks really young. So, but him and Emily Chu are kind of, they look roughly the same age. So, and I don't think they were married.
No, they were girlfriend, boyfriend.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't, putting up with this shit like that. I mean, do you want to marry that? I don't know. His temper tantrum is pretty bad.
Now, Sam, you said that maybe Leslie Cheung should have been swapped out for Fan Siu Wong. Are you still stand by that statement?
No, I said, look, he's no Fan Siu Wong. And the main reason I said that was I don't believe his action chops. I'm sorry. Like, you know, I lost out on the hot or not kind of debate, but I think we can all agree that Leslie Cheung is not the best action.
Oh, I guess when you see him fight, you're always like, oh.
Yeah, you know.
It's all right.
Whereas Fan Siu Wong, you're like, that kid can throw.
That's martial arts.
And we all know that Tai Long is no Dick Wei.
No, he's
Or Dick Long, as it would be.
Dick Long. Dick Long Wei. Dick Long Wei, way, way long. Look, I've softened on Leslie Cheung watching
throughout
the film.
Tonight.
Throughout tonight.
He has other talents.
Yes. And I saw some pictures of him with like stubble and I think, he's pretty good. Pretty good looking guy. And also the fact that he can sing as well. But as an action dude, and I suppose he's not playing that, is he? He's not playing like an action dude. He's playing
cop.
He's a cop. A fallible cop, so.
Yeah. Straight-laced, fallible cop who's conflicted, isn't he?
You know, over the course of this movie, it goes from like 3 years from when Tai Long's in jail. He goes from fresh-faced rookie to grizzled veteran real quick. He's married to the badge.
He's hard-boiled. He is chasing down Xing because Xing has now become... we didn't even mention what happened. So, this deal that they go over to Taiwan turns out that it's a shakedown.
Oh,
and,
shit.
And Ho gets betrayed by... We don't know who, but I mean, we all know Xing. But he gets betrayed and he gives himself up to the cops so that Xing can escape. And then he takes the fall and he ends up in prison for 3 years. In which time, Xing has now become the head honcho of the triads. And Ho has come out feeling remorseful and really wanting to go straight, I feel, at this point.
Also had many opportunities during that prison scenes to hide his hair loss with beanies and caps and stuff.
Yes. Just wear a hat, right? That's cool, man.
I'm sorry. That's the last joke I'll make.
As someone who has reached middle age and my hair is also starting to thin, it's something that I have to live with as well. So, I could soon be Tai Long myself in a couple of weeks.
A couple
of weeks. Could all go. And I'd be like, Tai Long.
You have to start smoking.
I'm amazed that Chow Yun-Fat still has that much hair. Dude's got hair everywhere. He's growing it out. It's grayed up. I saw him actually at the Hong Kong or the Asian Movie Awards.
Mm-hmm.
Man, he looks good now.
Yeah?
Yeah. Not like Crazy Cat Lady, but his hair's like black. He must have obviously colored it. And he seems like he's filled out a little bit. So, yeah.
Also, sorry, jump back in on trivia. This one for the 1987 Hong Kong Film Awards Best Film won it. Best Actor, Chow Yun-Fat. Tai Lung was nominated but didn't win. Ooh. Another slight to Tai Lung. Also won best...
slight.
At the Golden Horse Awards in 1986, it won Best Leading Actor, Tai Lung, Chow Yun-Fat nominated.
Ooh.
And Best Director. And Best Cinematography by Wong Wing-Hung. So, there you go.
Oh.
Got its fair share of awards at the time.
Oh, thank you. That's actually very good to know because it was cinematically very historic. And it's good to know that they actually won awards. Hopefully, it made money as well.
So they just swapped over. So, Hong Kong, they gave it to Chow Yun-Fat. And when they went over to Taiwan, they gave it to
their Tai Lung.
And their own Taiwan's finest.
I suppose that makes total sense. Yeah. Whichever one, it doesn't matter because I think they both deserve awards for the film. I think they both did a good job. I mean, Tai Lung is acting. Chow Yun-Fat is really acting. Like, really acting.
Like, he's got that jaw quiver, the lower lip quiver.
I know, right?
Oh, fascinating.
He looks, I don't know if he can just do that or if that's just him acting, but it looks legit.
Maybe it's really cold and you shiver.
Yeah.
That's why I think he has the biggest character arc in the end. He has to...
What's his character
arc? He has to really go down the dumps to the car park.
So, is that his character arc? Is it like his... He starts off at the top and then he's humbled?
Pretty much.
So, at the beginning, he is an arrogant, selfish prick. He gets humbled and then finds redemption through sacrifice?
Well, I mean, he gets shot in the knee.
You sacrificed enough for your triad boss.
I suppose that was his reward, I guess, for living that life, right? Is once he was of no more use, they just discarded him like a piece of trash.
They left him alone.
Yeah.
More or less, but they didn't in the end.
They treated him indignantly. And,
oh, right.
Yeah, you know, throwing money on the floor.
That was terrible.
And he was cleaning the windows and stuff. So, how far, you know, I guess it highlights the the cons of living in a crime-filled life, right?
You think Shing would look after him, right? No.
Shing's a prick.
He's a prick.
Yeah, how
else would he have gotten to the place that he was without being an asshole to his dad? Because he's like, my dad's a pushover. I'm just going to take everything. I think that's what's happened in the 3 years.
They never really painted him as that ambitious early on. It's not until he becomes the boss that you're like, oh, this guy's actually an ambitious prick. Actually, we didn't mention how Chow Yun-Fat got shot in the leg. The reason why he got shot in the leg, which goes back to the pot plants, is the best action scene in the film, is Chow Yun-Fat has now found out that Ho has been betrayed and that the shakedown had happened because of some guy's nephew. Some guy's nephew had set them up. So, Chow's like, I got this.
You guys are going down.
It's pretty ice cold because everyone is like, hey, man, do you need some help? We got some men. And Chow's like, nah, I got this. And he shows up at a club and he's putting guns in pot plants all over the place. Now, the thing that kind of threw me, and I think it's meant to kind of portray him as a crazy, mad-eyed, mad dog guy, is that he is grinning like a motherfucker and it looks like he's really enjoying himself in this karaoke club, I guess. Restaurant?
Club? Restaurant?
I don't know. They're all eating.
Was it a Japanese restaurant? Not sure. Ooh. They were on the floor. I can't remember.
I don't know.
But there was a lot of plates. Anyway.
But yeah, so he rocks up. He's littered the place with guns everywhere. Walks into the room and just opens fire at the table.
That scene where the door opens slowly and he's not smiling anymore. That is fucking tremendous. It's like the Terminator just come through the door or something. It's like, oh, shit.
It was slow-mo as well, wasn't it? It was.
Basically, it seems like he's just finger painting the walls with people's blood.
He's just no remorse. This is a guy you don't want to fuck with. Which kind of makes it... Because he kills everyone. He shoots everyone and he's got two guns. He's shooting crisscross straight up all over the place, splattering people all over everything. And he comes out. He goes into the hallway. He's shooting people in front and behind him. Like, anyone gets in that room and they're dead, right? And then it's not until he's about to leave after using all of his pot plant weapons that, you know, the guy just pops out of the doorway and shoots him a couple of times in the leg. And I thought, come on, man. Like, surely you should just watch behind you. Don't walk off from the explosion looking cool.
The guy's at the top of his game, but...
Who, the guy, the bad guy that was shooting him?
Oh, no, it's only fat.
Yeah.
But somehow he was, yeah.
Shot in the leg.
And then John Woo glides for a while.
Yeah, that's right. It's a crime scene. But the thing is that throws me is, again, having not seen the film, is because of Chow Yun-Fat's shots to the leg, he effectively becomes a cripple for the rest of the film. And I kept waiting for a moment of when his leg would heal. Like somebody would just slap him maybe on the knee or he'd get some ice packs or something. But no.
What's the other John Woo movie? Was it John Woo movie that we watched?
When he's in the,
Wheelchair and then he drop kicks Kenneth Stung across the room.
Which
is implausible, but sure.
I'm going to go to the podcast app and look up Asian Action.
That was a Sean Lau, was it? Was in that film? No, is that Sean Lau?
God. That's like.
And Nicholas Sitt?
No, this is a different much film. Older movie.
Yeah, okay. Not Full Throttle.
Shit.
Hey, look, we're looking up.
Was it Organized Crime and Triad Bureau?
Oh.
OT. Yeah. Was that it?
Really?
Chow Yun-Fat was in that? I remember that. I know Anthony Wong. Talk about a guy stealing scenes. Anthony Wong. Jesus Christ.
Super Cop 2? I can't remember.
No, we're just naming things.
No. Listeners.
Once a Thief. Once a Thief.
Have we seen that?
Not for the podcast.
Not for the podcast? Oh, okay.
You sure? I remember watching that for the podcast.
Once a Thief, mate. Mate.
Mate.
All right. I believe.
All right. Go on. Chow, mate.
Look it up, people.
Chow. So, that's the reason why Chow Yun-Fat has been injured this whole time. And they really take a few pains to demonstrate Chow at the bottom of the barrel. You know, feel really sorry for this guy. And he's hit their reunion when Ho actually catches up with him. Chow's in the basement eating some like shitty takeaway and his mouth is kind of half full with food when Ho shows up. And it just, they make it look so pathetic. he looks so sad and pathetic.
The same car park that they came up before, driving out of, is now his workplace. And probably where he sleeps as well in an old car seat or something.
Oh, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. So sad.
I think me and Rachel watched Once a Thief and
we did.
Probably not a lot of action.
Which
I can't remember.
Chow Yun-Fat, Leslie Cheung and Cherry Chung.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't think I've seen that.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. So, they really build up Chow Yun-Fat as this really sad, pathetic loser who doesn't want any sympathy. And Tai Long's character is trying to get out of the game, but he's finding it very difficult too because his brother's a cop trying to chase this guy, Xing. And Xing himself wants him to come back and do some crazy triad work for them.
You'd think he'd say, like, well, look what you did to Mark.
Yeah. Like,
I'm not coming back for that shit.
He doesn't want to be involved, but he wants to get a straight-laced job. He's working at a taxi company, but Xing just won't let him go. He's like, he's threatening his brother. He's threatening his workplace. He beats the fuck out of the Mark.
Awesome shot there. They're in front of like a JL sign on like a balcony or something. And you
it's
can
like
see
the top
traffic.
Of a roof.
Oh, it's incredible.
Giant neon sign. And just slow-mo just like punching the shit out of Giant Fart.
He's like, you can jump if you want. It's not like it used to be.
Why are they beating the shit out of him?
I think it's
to send a message because later in they barrel him into the taxi and dump him at the taxi HQ.
Mm. Yeah, for Tai Long's character, right?
Yeah.
To say, hey, look, we'll beat the fuck out of him. You better do what we say.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's mean.
I know.
Poor Mark.
Not nice people.
See, this is what I mean. Mark. Chow Yun-Fat does a really good job of selling his pain and his vulnerability. And him taking all of those punches. His face is all bruised and swollen.
And the thugs come out and start smashing up the taxi rank. And the boss comes out. And he's like, let's fight. It's the coolest boss in the world. He's like, I'm not the boss. Let's fight. Fuck him up. Yeah, he's a good boss.
He is a good boss. And even to the point when Tai Long shows up and Tai Long wants to get involved and fight, he's trying to push Tai Long back and say, no, don't do this, right?
Like, yeah, saying don't fight back. Otherwise, you'll be like them.
Yeah. He's doing the best he can to reform Tai Long and he just keeps getting dragged back in. He can't escape.
I keep thinking of Halloween costumes because you want to be a Halloween costume Kenneth Stung in this movie. You'd be gold chain and Western shirt.
And Western shirt.
Very short gold chain. Just like rat, like choker, basically.
Yeah, Kenneth Stung's awesome. The boss. Best boss.
I wouldn't mess with him.
He's pretty cool. I do like that he looks after his taxi crew. He brings them food and shit.
He's like, oh, this is coming out of your pay. Oh.
He's a nice boss. And Tai Long would have been happy there if not for his gangster background that keeps pulling him back in. So, and they killed his dad as well, which is why Leslie Cheung has such a chip on his shoulder because their dad died because...
Indirectly because,
yeah, that's right.
Just to go back to the taxi stuff, you think when that started happening, he's like, don't use Ho anymore. I thought like Kenneth Song's character would be like, you can't work here anymore. But he's like, no, he's pumped up. He doesn't want to fire him. He's like, no, fuck him up. He's like, that's a good boss.
That's a good. He wants to keep him. He wants to turn him around, right?
He kind of knew what he's in for because when he accepted him, he had a giant ass bruise on his face.
How good would it have been if at the end, where they're surrounded, all these taxis rocked up, brrrm, circled
that's
him.
That's another movie.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool, Scott. That's a better film.
John Woo on line two.
I'm going to need an additional action director for that scene.
Damn it, Choi Hawk, call me.
Because the action choreographers are Blackie Coe and Stephen Tung Wei.
Oh,
wow.
So. Oh, okay. Damn Blackie Coe's like a vehicle stuntman, I think.
Is yeah, he? Yeah, so he could do it.
Yeah.
Damn it, maybe that's in A Better Tomorrow too.
Oh, nah, see, now I really want to see it.
Dean turns up in a car and starts doing donuts.
I really want to see it. We should watch that with everyone. That's going to be a good one. That's going to be a good one.
Hell yeah.
So, I think this sets up the end of the film, though, because he's got no choice now. Tai Long has no choice, really, but to get back into the crime world, if only to...
Just to stop you there.
Oh, yeah?
Leslie Cheung's character forgets Emily's birthday.
Oh,
that's Emily? The worst of all.
Oh, that's so...
She makes her own cake, and he's so... Into the typewriter.
I don't know if it was a joke or not.
And then he's like, I didn't forget your birthday.
He Happy gave birthday. Her a present. That's gaslighting. That's
not a good boyfriend. Like, what the hell? You pretend like... I don't think he was pretending that he forgot. I think he really... Not... He didn't forget to get a present, but he was pretty hell-bent on just typing whatever shit he was typing.
Also, there's a scene... I can't remember who the actor is, but he's sort of... When the dad is living with in the apartment, he's in the window and she's got the headphones on. And the guy comes in, tries to beat up the dad and kill the dad.
Oh, that's
that big guy.
The Terminator guy.
Yeah, I don't know who that guy is, but he's like jacked up Stanley Fung or something.
He did. Yeah, he did have Stanley Fung vibes.
Which is just a mustache.
Yeah, he's a big guy. He was a big guy. But he ended up getting a knife in his back and he got a pot of hot water on his face. Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
No, that's all right. We're getting to the end where... So, Tai Long is now going to set up Xing. He's stolen this tape. Mark has helped him steal this tape, which I guess is incriminating.
Something with the counterfeit, I think, as well.
Yeah. I think it's records or something.
Also, Leslie Cheung is in the hospital at some point with a fucked up arm.
He got shot. Yeah, because it's too brash. Yeah.
That was that ambush at the docks or something.
Which is like him running to an empty dock and getting shot.
That was pretty
cool,
like,
oh, okay.
Though. Has anyone done like... Maybe they have like a doom shot like that, just running behind him as he runs through the docks.
Like a POV,
yeah,
from behind. Yeah, okay. It was a nice dock shot. It was like good ships and water reflections.
I liked it, but it seemed very rushed. Like, we need to get this in now. Just bang, and
it was very short. And it was
a plot point to do it now. Today.
It was just to establish that Leslie Cheung got shot, and then Tai Long is like, "Nah, fuck this. Let's go. Take care of this guy, Xing." And that's why he gets this incriminating evidence and sets up this reverse ambush, I guess, and says, hey, meet me here. Bring $2 million. I've got the tapes.
I've got the new album by Emerson, Lake & Palmer.
It's the EP. No one else has this yet. Bring money. And, of course, it's Tai Long and Chow, in fact, the bros going at it again by themselves. And they set this up. And you know what's going to go down is there's going to be a big massive shootout.
You forgot about the sad cigarette scene.
What's the sad cigarette scene?
Is that when he's at the temple waiting? He's got the sad cigarette, just like the ash is just all hanging off.
He smoked the entire cigarette.
Yeah, just like I was saying, it's just like the incense in the temple. It's just the same thing.
Oh, that was them waiting for Xing to show up?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Xing shows up with the money and they've said, oh, we've already given the tapes to the cops. And then he bluffs and says, there's a bomb in the money. And then Chow Yun-Fat opens it up all sweaty and shit. And he's like, fuck you. Because it wasn't a bomb. It was just money. Which, wisely could have.
You can't trust him.
Trust gangsters.
They run through an area with so many red barrels, it gave me anxiety.
Yeah, that's right. Nobody light a match.
They're doing a giant scope of it. Like, if you were playing a game, they'd go, and you're landing in the level, and they're just showing you, whoop, here's a barrel, here's a petrol tank thing. The price of petrol today is, I don't know, how much at Mobil?
20 cents a litre at the time, 1986.
Oh, those were the days.
But you know that there's going to be explosions, and that did not disappoint. There were a lot of explosions. A lot of gunfire.
Including one where Leslie Cheung just shoots a gun and then... must hit like six red barrels and blam. But they so try and get into a boat at some point, and then Chow takes off.
Yeah.
And then it's Tai Lung and Xing, and he's got him as sort of a hostage.
Well, Tai Lung tells Chow to take off in the boat, and Chow is conflicted. He's like, nah, bro. And Tai Lung says, you got to go, man. And he does, but not for long, because then he gets even more conflicted, and then he kind of turns it around.
Boat acting.
Yeah. He looks very upset. What's funny is they kind of intercut between Chow Yun-Fat driving away in the boat and looking very conflicted. But then you've also got Leslie Cheung, who's recovered a bit from his shot, driving towards the ambush to catch Tai Lung. And he's also conflicted as well. So, yeah, I guess they're two sides of the same coin.
Was it a split screen? No.
Yesterday. No, they didn't do a split screen. It was just like intercut. It was like smash cut, smash cut, smash cut. And then he shows up. Unfortunately, he gets captured by Xing's men because Tai Lung at this point has Xing at gunpoint. But now his brother's being held hostage. Got to swap him around. And then I forget what happens. They
walk slowly towards each other and then past. But then I think Xing get...
Leslie Cheung has a gun.
Yeah.
But and he grabs Xing. But then his henchmen shoot Leslie in the shoulder.
Also, Chow Yun-Fat is just starting to give a lecture and gets shot in the fucking head. And his blood goes all over Leslie Cheung's face. Oh, my God.
Oh, no. That's after this. Oh, sorry. That's spoilers. No, because at that point, Chow Yun-Fat hasn't arrived yet.
Yeah.
And they're getting shot at. Then Chow arrives with a shotgun and a machine gun and a bunch of guns. And he's shooting from the boat. And, yeah, then there's a big, massive shootout. Imagine the biggest shootout explosions. You've ever seen. Yeah. Stuntmen rolling around everywhere.
One flip. Explosion flip.
Barrels everywhere.
Yeah. That would be a shit stunt. Flipping or landing on a barrel. And probably hitting your ribs or something. Oh, but yeah, they have a shootout, and I think Tai Lung gets shot, and then it was Chow who's kind of grabbing Leslie Cheung by the head and saying, "You look at your brother, look at him, forgive him." You know, one of those preachy moments where he's preaching the to be the bigger man, I guess. And that's where you're talking about, Scott, is in the middle of this righteous speech, Chow Yun-Fat gets his head fucking shot at, which. Doesn't seem to faze him that much because he still turns around and starts firing off some shots.
It's a good shot. It's a bit unexpected because you think, oh, they're gonna make it, and blam, dead.
Yeah, who would have thought Chow Yun-Fat was going to die?
Because he just started his monologue.
And he's clearly the coolest character in this film.
Also, Tai Lung is ready to die. He's said several times, I'm ready to do it. Let's go. Let's go. And he still survives.
That's the irony. That's the tragedy. And then Chow Yun-Fat dies in a blaze of glory. It's like Young Guns. He's just getting fucking pelted with bullets. Like, oh, dude, platoon. And then he falls to the ground and he's dead. And this is when you get the ending, I guess, where you get the epilogue. So the bad guy is now surrendering. The cops have got the place surrounded. And the bad guy knows that, oh, I'm going to surrender. And guess what? I'll be out of prison. And then I'll fuck you up and your lives up and shit.
It reminds me of the ending of Inglourious Basterds where the Nazi guy's like, I'm going to give myself up and it's going to be great. And fuck you guys. I'm doing everything to make myself protected. And then they carve a swastika in his face and like, fuck you.
That's exactly what happened, except for the swastika. Yeah.
I felt he really died for his part of the monologue where he said, you've basically infected your brother. He can't go back from black, basically, yeah. He said.
He can't. You're the one that did this. You're the one that tainted him.
So fuck you.
And he turns around, sees the gun and goes, oh.
Well, so what happens is Tai Lung doesn't have any bullets left in his gun. And then the bad guy, seeing he walks off and he's smug as fuck, right? And then his brother, who's the cop, right? Shouldn't be doing anything like this. The cop brother gives Tai Lung his gun and Tai Lung, like, cocks it. And that's when Wisely looks and goes, oh, shit. And then Tai Lung blows him the fuck away. And then Tai Lung gives himself up. He cuffs himself and he hands himself into his brother. And he says, nah, this is not you, bro. You're clean.
You've always done the right thing.
Yeah, this is me. This is me.
Freeze frame.
Freeze frame.
The first, it is in our 2024 year of recording, this is March 22. It's the first freeze frame of the year. We've watched like 6 movies so far.
That's incredible. Maybe we should try not to get freeze frame films.
Impossible.
Impossible. Watch a Hong Kong and Asian action film without a freeze frame? Unheard of. So, and that was A Better Tomorrow 1.
One.
Well, it's actually just A Better Tomorrow. I think this has been archived in the Hong Kong or Asian film archives as like in the top 5 anyway, films that have been put in there. which seems very high.
So it's what, this Buddha's palm.
This Buddha's palm.
The big boss.
The big boss.
Enter the dragon.
There's got to be like the five deadly venoms and shit as well, right?
The killer.
Yeah. What was that one where they were eating a chicken's butt?
I know the one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dreadnought.
What is it?
No, I was thinking Buddha's palm, but it's not. Battle with, no, not Battle with. Anyway, it'll come to me. But yes, A Better Tomorrow. Do you think this deserves all of the glory that it gets? We're watching it in hindsight now, but
I think it's a very good film. It deserves what it gets, but I think a lot of people are praising it, getting it the wrong. Like, oh, it's John Woo and Chow Yun-fat. Of course, but Tai Lung is great and deserves more props. I think people just that haven't seen it just read about it and go, oh, yeah, it's probably going to be Chow Yun-fat blowing everybody up, which it is.
It is.
But Tai Lung's great.
I guess if people are expecting the greatest movie ever, then their expectations are way too high. But it's a very...
So, you give it more than the 4 out of 10 mighty overrated?
I didn't read anything before watching it or anything like that, so...
My problem is that having seen this film now, I've seen everything that came after it. So,
yeah.
You know, like if this had been a film that I'd never seen anything like it at the time, I would have been blown away. But having seen everything that this spawned, I still have to give regard to the fact that this was there at the beginning. This is what spawned all of that, right? But it's hard to watch it objectively and kind of go, this is amazing. It's like, well, no, you didn't do this. You didn't have Doves, John Woo. Like, Doves would have been great. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to extricate yourself from that.
Because I do feel like, yeah, I'm watching Ringo Lam and John Woo movies in reverse.
Going backwards.
From more recent to, yeah.
Well, that's the best way to do it, though, I think, because I did that with James. We started watching the Fast and the Furious films, and if you start now and go backwards, they get progressively more and more less ridiculous. They start off flying into space, and then it goes back, and it's like, they're just driving cars.
Just doing laps.
Yeah, that's right.
In the car park.
Yeah, that's right. Where are the submarines and the rocket launchers? Yeah, that's the right way to do it, is start here and get less ridiculous.
What's your favorite Fast and Furious movie so far?
Oh, that's a good question, Scott. My favorite Fast and Furious movie so far.
Tokyo Drift?
No.
Is Jason Momoa your favorite villain?
No, it's the one before that when they... I love it. A Fast and the Furious film is not a Fast and the Furious film unless there's a scene in there where somebody in your head, you don't go, who needs physics when you have family? And that's when there's these cars flying off the edge of a cliff, somebody's jumping, and then Vin Diesel just grabs their whole body with his arm and pulls him in the car because he's family.
What about your son? Is that his favorite as well?
Fast and the Furious?
Which one's his favorite?
Actually, I don't know which one his favorite Fast and the Furious is.
And yours is?
Mine would be probably 8.
Question 2. Do you think Gone in 60 Seconds got outclassed by Fast and Furious?
Yes.
Because it's kind of sort of the same-ish sort of kind of?
Yeah, Fast and the Furious. Depends which one you're talking about. But Fast and the Furious is better. Then Gone in 60 Seconds.
Also, it's a shorter title than Gone in 60 Seconds. Easier to say.
Gone in 60 Seconds. I do like how they pivoted and made Fast and the Furious less of a car movie and more of a heist movie. And it was much more fun. It's a popcorn flick.
Chocolate flick.
Yes. But I wanted to bring it back to this film, I was going to say Hard Boiled, sorry. I bet it Tomorrow. I have a question for you, and usually we do this at home as something that you would want to take from this film and do at home. Obviously, light your cigarette up with a dollar bill, but you get a choice of two. It's either something from this film that you would like to do at home or a story about a cool boss thing that happened, someone being a cool boss. And I'll give you an example. I have one. So, I heard through a friend of mine, there was a cool boss. I think it was a restaurant or something like that. And he had somebody working for him. And this guy was a young guy trying to find a place to stay, right, to get a deposit for a home. And he wasn't on that much money. To help him get across with the banks and whatnot, the boss paid him extra, like $100 extra every week to increase his salary long enough to give him a better chance at getting a deposit or a loan.
That's a cool boss.
That's a cool boss.
Never heard it. I don't have any cool boss stories. I don't know.
Does it have to be like for us directly or just a
cool boss? No, just cool boss story. You could just make one up. I wouldn't know the difference.
That's like cool Chow Yun-fat stories.
All right, go on.
Aren't all Chow Yun-fat stories cool?
Not all of them.
Like him being on public transport is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, go on. Tell us a story. Tell us a real life story.
It's not really a story, but it's more like what people say when they meet Chow Yun-Fat, because he's very, was it low-key, unassuming?
He makes time for his fans?
Yeah. He will, I think he will just talk to people and then he's just on the train.
That's a cool boss.
Yeah, I find that really odd, because what kind of mega, it's not, you wouldn't think of himself as a mega superstar, but he just the thought of him being on the train.
I guess I can't, he's a man of the people. Like, I can't imagine anyone giving him grief. Like, he's...
Because he's just so well-liked. There's you can say is bad about him.
And there would be enough people that like him that if you were to go to him and say, yeah, wanker, people are like, oh, whoa, dude, like, do you know who that is?
Everyone knows he lives simply and then he donates money.
Yeah.
Anyway, so...
Yeah, no, he's doing...
I got a cool boss story, and this might be a little controversial, given the person I'm talking about. So, I know we all know that sort of Vince McMahon is in the news for being a pretty horrible person, and over the years, whatever. This is a story I've heard from a wrestler called Bob Holly. He was a wrestler and also drove stock cars on the side. And WWF sponsored, in the early 90s, sponsored his stock car. So, put the logo on it, pay for the car, all the stuff. Didn't do too great in the racing, like, placed a couple of races here and there, but at the end of the year or something, they were like, oh, we're not going to do the stock car racing thing anymore. It's costing us too much money. And so, the wrestler's like, oh, well, what do you want to do with the car? I was like, I'd like to sort of keep it and just drive it myself. And Vince McMahon said, you can buy it back from me for like $500, like thousands of dollars worth of equipment. So, he wrote him a check for $500, said, thank you very much. Never cashed it. Like, said, no, you can keep it. I'm not cashing this check. You can have it. That's just like a nice thing he did.
That's a nice thing to do. That is a great thing, Vince McMahon. Yeah, and you're right. He's in the news for a lot of other outlandish shit.
Yes.
Yeah. But stuff, something like that, like that's a cool boss thing to do.
I think, yeah, you're right. See, this is the problem, I think, with a lot of the current environment is that people are very quick to paint people as either black or white. And there's shades of gray. Right.
Although he might have just forgot because he's a millionaire with like so many other things. He just generally might have forgotten. It's like, ah, oh, fuck it. It's fine.
No, but you see the emotion as well when he's talking about The Undertaker and stuff like that. Like, he's obviously grown up and he's come up from there as well. So, maybe along the way, he lost his way. Maybe he's kind of like Chow Yun-Fat and he kind of...
He got led by his dick somewhere and then he forgot how to do anything.
Oops. Yeah. Again, not trying to paint over his indiscretions here. Or
no.
He was a good guy because... Whatever,
not excusing him.
There's little stories like that I've heard from wrestlers that he's done things like that. And it's like stuff like that. That's a cool boss story.
Yeah, man. I mean, we've all got bosses, and I'm sure at some point our bosses have been pricks. But
for me personally, a cool boss story is my first job, mining job. It was just a bit of a shithole place, not much going on. But I was there for 2 years, and he didn't like me at the start, and by the time I left, he was sort of on my wavelength in terms of humor and doing stupid shit. So I won't get into anything specific, but by the end of it, he was sort of he's a fun guy,
dude. That's...
He went from a grizzled old guy to a funny old guy.
See, man, like, just be a cool boss. They're people. Bosses are people too, and that's the tragedy of this film is that Tai Long could have had that with his taxi co.
The original boss was a cool boss.
Well, he's gangster boss.
He's the father.
The
original guy, because they were close to him, and I presume they were looked after. But then when Singh took over, then that was the end of it.
Singh's a bad boss.
That's the problem. That's old money, right? See, I've always, this is my principle here, is I'm going to say that old money, the people who worked hard to get to where they are and they built everything behind them, they know what it's like to build that. And then when they leave whatever they've got left to their kids are just idle. They're given all of this wealth, right? So, what's their biggest motivation? Not to build it, it's to hold on to it, to make sure that it doesn't go anywhere, that it's mine, and to grab more. And that's where you're going to get into problems.
That's your economics minute.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Join me next time for TED Talk. But yeah. So, well, actually, shall we do the rounds? Going around the table, did we give this film a thumbs up? I mean, thumbs up for me, but...
Thumbs up for me. I'd like to watch it again 10 times during the year.
My 10 times a year.
Yeah, I'll definitely watch this again.
It is very well shot.
And I'm going to find the soundtrack too. Music is very good. Like I said, Lewis Koo. Not Lewis Koo.
Joseph Koo.
Joseph Koo, sorry.
Yeah, it's a very well shot. Even watching it now, it's just like, oh wow, they did that and they did this. You know, it doesn't have to be there. There's some John Woo going around on a skateboard or something like that. Just like a giant shot of like, you know, Taiwan and then Mark Gore just like smoking and waiting there. Just things like that just give a snapshot of the time and place that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very atmospheric. You're right, the way that they've shot it. So, thumbs up?
Definitely.
Yeah. Unanimous. Watch it. A Better Tomorrow. Watch it and then get in touch with us. Asian Action Cast, Gmail, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. And let us know whether you think this is as important a piece of work as people are saying that it is. And tell us if you're going to give it a thumbs up.
Sam, can you play us out by singing the ending Leslie Cheung song? Or the melody?
Do 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 do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye. Bye. And good night.
Hey,
走到命未停止. That is a Litfield's worst nightmare.